Those people in Isaiah 58, God put his finger on them, and they were not fasting for him. They were not fasting for the proper reasons. So this week we're going to talk about fasting for the proper reasons. And in starting at verse 5, let's just go up there. But these people last week were fasting for strife and debate. Strife and debate. There's so much strife and hypocrisy and debate and formalism in the churches today. But God wants a church without spot or wrinkle. He wants a holy church, and he wants a strong church. That's the main thing. He wants a militant, strong church. And, you know, sometimes I wish you could come and hear the phone calls that I get from all over the country. Sometimes I can't believe them myself, some of the things that people are telling me, you know. And people are disturbed in America. They're beginning to see that there's something wrong in churches. And they want to do something about it. And some of them go to their pastors and they tell their pastors what they see, and they say that they're not listened to. But they're concerned because the spirituality has gone out of the churches. Now, this is not all churches. We're not speaking to every church, but there are people that in our church system today that need a shaking up, and I really do believe that. But the way that God has always worked, you know, he's worked through spiritual people doing spiritual things. And fasting is a spiritual, supernatural thing. And when you fast for the wrong reasons, as we told you last week, some people might think that you're right at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, because you seem to be doing proper things. But where is your heart? You see, God puts his finger on our hearts. And of course, fasting to make a false profession is a thing that will put you into the spiritual realms, but it will dig a deeper hole for you, because fasting will put you in the spirit, and you're either going to tap into the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil. So these people that are fasting for the improper things are people that are in the most danger, because they're open to spiritual things to happen to them. Now, what that means is they're open for the devil to come in supernaturally and control their minds even more than he's controlling them before they did the fast. So both spirits are watching what we do as Christians. And both spirits understand prayer and fasting. And so in verse 6 in Isaiah 58, it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you can break every yoke?" And so this is why people find it so hard to fast. They say, "Well, you know, every time I fast, I get a terrible headache. My stomach is bothering me. I've got aches and pains in my body." And those are oppressions coming from the devil to keep you from fasting the proper way, because he knows that if you're fasting the proper way, the mercy of God is going to come upon us. And he knows the presence of God is going to come upon us. And the presence of God is what drives the evil spirits away. And the presence of God is what lifts the oppression. So when you first start fasting, the devil quickly moves to bring about a headache. What is a headache? Sometimes a headache can be described as oppression. And so Christians in our hour and time have to learn to press in. Because as you press in, you get closer into the presence of God, and the devils have to lift. You see, oppression can't be upon a Christian where the presence of God is. So that's why the pressing in to the Spirit of God and the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. What are bands? They're ropes and cords and ties. And what is a headache? A lot of times it's a band around a person's head, isn't it? And so we've got to break the bands that the devil and the cords that the devil has brought forth to stop us from getting close to God. You see, a lot of people will go to churches where it's easy to get to. Some places it's not the easiest place to get to because they will find out things they didn't know. Some of the new people told me just in the last days, I'm learning things I never heard of being at Miracle. I'm seeing things that I never saw in other churches happen, you see. And it's if the devil can keep you away, then he can keep you blinded. Isn't that true? And he can keep that blindness from you, and he can keep the knowledge and the wisdom from you to know that Jesus Christ came in the first place in Luke 1:4. Don't turn. I'm not going there. I'll just tell you. Paraphrase what it says. It says that he came to set the oppressed free. That's one of the reasons why he came, is to set the oppressed free. I remember when I first got saved, I knew this lady, and she was very oppressed all the time. And yet, she never missed her prayer meeting, and she never missed her church service. But she walked around oppressed. And it was due to a lack of knowledge. She was holy. She loved the Lord. She'd given him all. She was tithing. She was giving. She was coming. She was doing everything she knew to do. But yet, she was oppressed. And one of the purposes that Jesus came was his people to be set free. And, of course, when I knew her, I was learning myself about oppression. And I was learning myself about Christianity. I remember when the Lord brought this lady to my house, and she said, "Idolatry. This house is filled with idolatry." And it was. I was a non-believer. My husband was a non-believer. And his mother had lived in that house, and she had been a non-believer. And there was all kinds of bad things in that house of idolatry. And so she cleaned a lot of things out of the house, you know. But she didn't get the brass. And I was a collector of brass. And back in those days, Chinese brass was very, very expensive. And I had a whole house full of it. And the reason it was is China was closed and Americans couldn't get in China. What is hard to get becomes expensive, you see. And so one day the Lord led me over to the book stand, one of the bookcases, And I just pushed the book back, and there was a little Chinese cow, or it could have been an Indian cow because they're the ones that worship cows. But in the back, it had a place to burn incense. Well, you see, I never burned incense or anything like that, but I had the paraphernalia for those things in the house. And then as I turned around, I saw an incense burner. I know now what it is. Then I didn't really know what it was. But it was a tiered, three-tiered brass incense burner from China. And the base of it was made of dragons, of a dragon curled around it. And then it was each part of it was made in a round ball, probably about 6-7 inches round. And then the top was had a hole in it, and the bottom had a place where they burned incense. And the Lord showed me that, and he said, "You see that dragon?" Or he showed me. He wasn't, I couldn't hear his voice at this time. And he let me know that this was not pleasing to him. And every time I would go into the Bible, I'd come across a piece of brass. And so I went and got a big bag, a big garbage bag, and I just went around and started putting all my brass in there. And I took it down to the antique shops, and they were both closed. So I said, well, I'll just take it back later. And on the way home, the Lord said, "If you love me, you'll let it go. You won't sell it. You'll just let it go." Now, you see the principle of that, and I've cleaned out many people's houses over the years, is that if it's demons in your house and you go sell it, then you're going to put demons in somebody else's house. Is that right? So God says that he has no desire for the money of things that offend him. So on the way home, I made a decision to go by that woman's house that came by and cleaned out my house, because I really didn't know much. I was a baby Christian. And all of a sudden, oppression came on my head. It was so powerful, I couldn't even hold my head up hardly. And I went home and I told her about the brass, and I said, "The Lord's told me to get rid of it. Would you go with me and help me?" And she said, "Yes." And her husband took the kids out of the car, and we went and cleaned the brass out of the house. And then we prayed, and the oppression lifted. But you see, what happens is this in the church. When God wants to use people, they are not taught on how to be used. And they're not taught how to war the devil. And so something like that would put fear on somebody, and then they wouldn't step out anymore, you see. They don't want to go through that again. That oppression is very painful. It can feel like every devil in the world has come and collected itself on your head. And it's not very pleasant at all. And so in this case, I'm talking about me. The oppression had come upon me as a baby Christian. I can tell you another time in Israel. The Lord sent me to Israel as a baby Christian. And Holiday for the King is a book about that trip, and so many wonderful supernatural things happened with me and the Lord in Israel. I had an experience with him in the garden tomb, and I met with angels in the garden tomb. I was commissioned for the ministry in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. The Holy Spirit, I don't have time to tell the whole thing tonight, but the Holy Spirit came upon me, and he healed my body. And it felt like he poured a bucket of oil over me, and it felt like, I felt like Tin Man, actually, in The Wizard of Oz. Remember when it rained, he froze all up and he couldn't move and he was bound? And then whenever they found some oil and they poured it on him, he was loose as a goose and he could move and he was happy, extremely happy. Well, my bones felt like that. I just felt like I was 100 years younger, and my whole body felt free when Jesus poured that oil upon me. And then he took his hands and he wiped them across my face. I'll never forget it. And across my eyes, actually. And he anointed my hands. And he said, I want you to go do my work. And I'm sitting in a Catherine Kuhlman ministry at this time, and miracles are going on up on the platform. And I was so overtaken with the power of God myself that I got up and walked out into the lobby. And that's when the supernatural things began to manifest in my life. And 25 Jews received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with me speaking in their language right after that experience for the next few days. So you can find the book on the web page, and the announcer will tell you about it, but that's not what I am talking about. It was during that trip that sometimes, as a baby Christian, I would get under such oppression before this great supernatural things begin to occur. And there was one time in one of the meetings that I was so oppressed that I was bent over to the waist with spiritual oppression. And some of the Christians came, and what they did is they laid their hands on me and prayed, and immediately that oppression left. And so he came to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke. And so as a baby Christian, sometimes you can't get the yokes broken unless you join with a stronger Christian to pray with you. And don't be ashamed to do that, because that's what the body of Christ is for, is to help to carry each other's burdens and each other's yokes. And so Jesus wants a church that is free. And if you notice, fasting is to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed free, and that ye can break every yoke. Now, in the deliverance ministry, many times I have broken the yoke off of people's necks. And it's a yoke that you can't see with your physical eyes. But when you break that yoke in deliverance off that person's neck, my Lord, what a reaction that you will have, because they all of a sudden feel free. They feel like I did when the Holy Spirit poured the oil upon me at the Catherine Kuhlman meeting. And so spiritual things happen in the spiritual realms, and this is why it's so important to do your fast as unto the Lord. And when you're on a fast, if you neglect to be spiritual during this fast, let's say that you watch an unholy thing on television, do you realize that your spirit, as you go on the fast, it's like a rose that begins to open up? And It opens up to receive things in the supernatural from the hand of God. So if you sit and watch demonic stuff, or read demonic books, or do demonic things, let me tell you something, demons are open to come in also. But if you separate yourself, New Testament and Matthew says separate yourself. You're supposed to really even separate yourself from your husband or your wife sexually while you're on fast. It's a time where it's a precious time for you and it's a precious time for God because He can come in and get closer to you. And you can get closer to Him. And He wants you to be close to Him. Is that right? And so He wants the hedge of protection all around you. And so you keep yourself sanctified, is what the Old Testament saints used to call it. Sanctified means to be separated, set apart, and living holy. So you keep yourself sanctified while you're on this fast. Now, in verse 7 it says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, which thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And so this is a time of benevolence. It's a time where you are helpful. That you're thinking about you and the Lord, but you're thinking about His kingdom too. You see, Jesus has got a kingdom that He wants to build. Before I started teaching, I mentioned to you about this woman that had a great experience with the Lord due to the terrible things that were going on out in New Orleans. And she said, I gave my heart totally back to the Lord, and I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. And this other woman called me and told me, said, oh, she is really, really changed. Well, this is just a couple of days, you see. And I said, well, I hope it lasts. And I said, you know, she needs to get into church. And she said, well, I don't know about that. Well, you see, you have to be close to God's people when you're trying to serve God. And apart from His people, the devil has you isolated so he can jump on your shoulder anytime he wants to. Get in your mind and ruin your thoughts because you don't know how to defend yourself. You're like a helpless little baby, and you need to be taught, and you need to be taught spiritual things. And in addition to that, you have people that see spiritually, and they can see when you're under attack. And they'll look over and say, are you all right tonight? That's because they're seeing things. They see you by the Spirit of God, and they see that you're oppressed, you see. And so church is very, very important. I heard there are over 2 million Christians in America not going to church and over 100,000 in this area. Well, see, that's part of our fast, that we're fasting, that the Lord will tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, come on over. So that you can learn, so that you're not under attack all the time. So that you can understand spiritual things. Is that right? And so it's for you to have sympathy for the people that need you to have sympathy for them. The poor, the people that are not saved, the people that used to be there but they're not there anymore, the people that have need of the kingdom of God. And so it puts you in the mode of mercy. God is in the mode of mercy while you're fasting, and you're hopeful that He will be merciful to you. Because a lot of times when you're fasting for certain things, right? It's not wrong to fast for your finances, to fast for your family, to fast for your church, to fast for someone that's sick. It's not wrong to fast for certain reasons, but it's also right to fast for people in the darkness. Amen. To break that yoke and to undo those heavy burdens over them, to let them go free so that they are able to come to the church. Amen. Now, in verse 8, it says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Now, deliverance ministries have to pray and fast a lot. They have to. If you're going to break bands of heaviness and yokes and you're going to heal the sick, you got to be a fasting saint. You cannot just be like everybody else. You see, to see the glory of God cost you something. And Catherine Kuhlman used to say, it will cost you everything that you have. Well, I got to tell you something. I believe that now. It really and truthfully does. But you have that promise of walking in the light and not stumbling around in the darkness as so many Christians do. Running here, running there. Have you got a word from the Lord for me? Can you interpret this dream? You see, God wants you to be able to go to Him and find a lot of these things out for yourself. Is that right? Why make yourself dependent on a human being when you can become dependent on God? Is that right? Amen. And so the Bible shows us that health is promised, and you can stand and believe God for that righteousness so that your health can spring forth, or the health of whoever it is that you're praying for can come forth rapidly. You see, we have these promises, and when you dig in the Word, and you dig in the Word and you get it so that you look a little bit more carefully, God will show you these nuggets, hallelujah, that you just skim over. Yeah, I read the Word today. Well, what did it say? I can't remember. You see, according to Joshua chapter 1, he said, meditate in the Word of God. Meditate in it so that prosperity can come upon you. Amen? And so these scriptures are telling us to meditate on the Word of God. And then you can have the divine protection of the Lord upon you. Fasting brings protection. If the yoke is busted off, if the heavy burdens are gone, if the oppressed is over, you have the divine protection of the Lord dwelling upon you. Is that right? And then in verse 9 it says, "Then shall thy call, and the Lord shall answer. And then shall thy cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity." You see, God wants to answer His Word. Some people can't hear Him. Some people don't know what to do. Some people have to call the prayer lines. I'm not opposed to that. Some people have to go to doctors. Let them go. But there's some people that know how to depend on God for their healing and for their bread and for every single thing that they need because of prayer and fasting. God wants us to pray And he wants us to fast so that we can stand up and say, hey, I remember the oppression that used to come upon me. It's gone. I don't have headaches anymore. They're gone. I know what to do if they try to return too. And I don't have to go around and speak evil and carry the devil's messages anymore. They're gone. I know what to do because I'm in the presence of God. And when I'm in the presence of God, I don't have to do those things that I used to do anymore. Is that true? And so the Bible wants us to put forth the finger of speaking vanity. This woman that gave her heart back, she says, I'm not going to speak evil of anybody ever again. I said, well, she's going to be stronger than I am. Because, you know, the Lord has to arrest me too every now and then. How about you? You see, it's so easy to do these things, but fasting puts you in that spiritual realm so that you really can stand and say, I'm not doing this anymore. Isn't that wonderful? And so the Bible wants us to be protected. He wants us to walk like spiritual giants in this last hour. He wants us to know that His eye is upon us and we are the apple of God's eye. He wants us to know that He loves us very much and there's nothing going on in our life that He's not aware of. Sometimes things seem to go on a little longer than we want them to go on. But sometimes God is saying, come on a little closer, honey. Come on a little closer. Pretty soon you'll have it and you'll get out of that. Because you see, we all have to learn our faith before we can give our faith to someone else. Is that right? We have to have a testimony before we can tell somebody what God did for us. And God does all kinds of things for us all the time. And sometimes we're so much in the flesh that we just expect Him to do things all the time. And we don't realize truly that we are that chosen generation, that holy priesthood, set aside for His purpose, that we can bring the oppressed and set them free. And we cannot set the oppressed free if we're walking in oppression ourselves. So God loves us. And I hope that you're getting something out of this fasting. It's more than a ritualism. When I was a Catholic, they used to say, only eat meat every Friday. And that was called fasting meat. That didn't bother me because I didn't eat meat anyway. So I didn't have to give up anything. I didn't care too much for fish, so I just ate vegetables. But to be honest with you, the proper fast is to put your flesh under subjection to the cross and for God to be able to get into your rose that is wide open so that He can show you new things and walk with you as He walked with Adam in the garden so that you know He's walking with you. See, sometimes He's walking with you and you're not even aware of it. He wants us to know that His presence is with us. And all we've got to do, saints, is to do it His way and not our way. And we'll learn the great new things of the kingdom week by week, so that we can become giants and giant killers in the kingdom of God. I hope I helped you today. Amen. God bless you.